Well, good morning, good morning. It's good to see all of you here today. If you are one of our 67 first-time guests last week, it's great to see you here today. Welcome back. Did you enjoy last Sunday with our special guest, Chad Williams, U.S. Navy SEAL, shared his story at the end of the presentation of the gospel? 123 of our friends publicly surrendered their lives to Jesus. That's what it's all about, isn't it? Very, very exciting. Very, very exciting. I heard that some of you promised those who you invited, those guests, that you would take them out for lunch afterwards. Hey, whatever it takes, right? I was thinking about the idea, what would it look like if we started bribing people to come to church? Like saying, hey, I'll give you $100 to come to church with me. I don't know, maybe that's a bad idea. How many of you just wish you had $100 just to go around giving to people to come to church? Wouldn't that be awesome? I wish I had $100. Anybody have $100 that you could just give me? Anybody? Hey. Whoa, hello. All right, thank you very much. Awesome. Cool. I'll take it. I'm glad that you're here for the start of our brand new series. Turn with me in your Bibles to the Gospel of John, chapter 3. John, chapter 3. Some of you are not turning in your Bibles. Some of you aren't even listening to me. You're like, why did those two guys give you money? Why maybe did I not give money? And so you're like, you're just trying to figure it all out, right? I got to say something to you. One of those guys, I gave them that $100 before service started. Not only that, I told him that there would be a time at the beginning of my message that I would ask him to give me my $100 back. The reason why he was so quick to come up here and give this $100 to me is because it wasn't his to begin with. It was mine the whole time. He wasn't sitting there wondering if he should fight about the $100 to give, because he knew it was all mine, all of it was mine, right? Now, the second one, I'm not sure about. It wasn't supposed to work that way, but I got $200, kind of feeling guilty about the second 100, but I appreciate the generosity. What if we were all so freely willing to give whenever we hear a need? That's amazing. I wonder if this is the way it is with God, though. Like, we fight God because we think it's all our money. And as long as you think it's your money, you're going to fight God. But the reality is, it doesn't belong to us, is it? It all belongs to God. And when you understand that it all belongs to God, you won't fight over your money, because it's not your money. It's God's money, right? And so we trust the Lord. And so today we're going to talk about generosity. We're going to talk about generosity. And the one thing that we got to understand about generosity, it's not just giving money, is it? Generosity is a lifestyle. It's being unselfish with every area of our life, unselfish with our time. And for some of you, time is more valuable than money. It's being unselfish with the gifts and the talents that the Lord entrusts us with. And yes, it is being generous with our treasure and our resources. It applies to every area of our life. We learn to become generous when we look upon God, our Father, our Creator. Our mission here at our church is to help you become devoted followers of Jesus, that you will look more and more like Him. The more time you spend with Him, the more time you spend with the body of Christ, the more you'll look like the Lord. And so I want us to focus today on John chapter 3, verse 16. Because this verse reveals so much about the character and nature of God. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. For God so loved the world that he what?
Gave.
He gave his only son. He loved and he gave. So in this verse, we see very clearly the love of God and the generosity of God. He so loved that he gave. He loved and he gave. He loved and he gave. And he kept on giving. And he kept on loving. And we've got to understand this quality about the Lord, that God, He would never ask of you anything that he wouldn't be willing to do himself or did. And God didn't give you his leftovers, did he?
No.
He gave you his very best. Amen. God will never ask you to give something you don't have. He'll ask you to give what you want to keep. He'll ask you to give what is most valuable. Sometimes it's a test. Sometimes he just wants you to walk in his nature of generosity. And if we hold on, if we hoard, then we can't be like him. We're not a good reflection of his nature. We're not good followers when we're not being generous. So how do we become more generous? How many of you want to become more generous? You want to grow in generosity. How many of you want to be known as being a generous person, that you freely give to the Lord, you freely give to those that are around you when you find a need, that you're going to quickly meet it? You want to be generous. I want to be generous. I want us to be generous. I want you to be generous. There's five decisions that you're going to have to make. I want you to consider five choices today. The first, you've got to consider facts instead of fiction. First way to become generous is you've got to face the brutal facts. Sometimes it's the hard truth, right? So I want to ask you, are you generous? Now, if we all asked each other right now, if I asked you to turn to your neighbor and go, are you generous? Everyone's going to be nodding their head. Like, no one's going to admit, like, no, I am a selfish, greedy person. Maybe some of you are that honest, but I want you to just look back in the last few months. All right, do a little inventory. Did you go above and beyond in meeting needs around you? Did you give to people? Were you generous to the Lord? Are you giving to missions? Are you giving of your time and your talents to help other people? You're either generous or you're not. Some of you are like, man, I want to be generous, but I'm just going through a financial storm. I'm going through a storm in my life right now, a physical storm. That is fair. Maybe write that down. Just face the brutal fact. Some of you are like, you're so much in debt, it's like holding you back, like a dark cloud, and it's keeping you from being generous. Fair, right? That is. Some of you got into bad debt and it was bad decisions that got you there. And it's going to take some good decisions to get out of that. Man, I want you to keep coming back because we want to help you and how to maybe even get out of debt. So some very practical things based on God's word. But I want you to be honest with yourself. Like, face the facts. Embrace the, you're either generous or you're not. But if you're in debt, write it down. Do you know 8 out of 10 Americans are in debt? 76% are living paycheck to paycheck. That's a real issue in our country. Creditcards.com says 68% of U.S. adults who were polled said they doubt they will ever be able to completely pay off their debts, which globally has ballooned to a record high of $233 trillion. We know that our country is in debt, right? Like, this is living beyond our means. It's we want something so bad that we're going to take that shortcut, but that debt is a trap. And it's very dangerous. Too much debt is a trap and can hold you back from being generous. And so be honest. Be honest. I think we got to be honest as a church family. Are we generous as a church family? So I've kind of opened up the hood and began to examine some of the real numbers, all right? Good and bad. It's kind of where we're at in terms of giving of our time and our talent and our money. So I want us to take a look at the last event that we did. We only really did one big event last year, Love in Action. We just decided that during a building year and we wanted to keep the focus on small groups and our worship service that we wouldn't do as many events this year, but we felt like we needed to do Love in Action. And so we've been in partnership for years over many ministries. And some are downtown, some are help with those who are sexually trafficked. And just how can we financially give? How can we give volunteers on a day that many of our small groups are helping with? But on one day, we decided, hey, this is something that we want to do. And so a couple of months ago, I shared with you guys the opportunities that on one day, we're gonna give you an opportunity to serve with your family and your friends. Well, on our Love in Action Day, we had 807 volunteers show up. That's a lot more than before. We've been celebrating that increase. But the reality is that that represents 26% of our church family. So 26% participated in Love in Action. Now, to be fair, some of you had some legitimate commitments or you were out of town and to be excused. But the majority of us did not participate for whatever reason. So I want you to kind of think of it this way. Let's think that think about you being living in your neighborhood, and maybe an elderly couple knocked on your door, and they live down the street, and they said, "Hey, I just by our observations, you look like nice people. And the older gentleman said, my wife is going to be having surgery in a couple of weeks. I was wondering if you could help us, maybe give us a meal, take care of my lawn for a week. And you said, absolutely, that's something that we can do. And you went back to your family, maybe their spouse and two kids, and you shared that need. And everyone rallied and said, yeah, we got to meet that need. That's something that we can do. But on the day that they needed you most, only one of four of you actually met that need. Would you be considered a generous family, or would that be okay that just one out of four served? I asked our director of volunteers, I said, tell me how many of our church family, what percentage are actively serving? So she went back and just in the last 5 weeks revealed that we had 667 volunteers who uniquely served in the last 5 weeks. That means 37% of our adults have served with their talents here at Gateway, 37%. That's just over one out of three. Then I asked our executive director of finance, I said, how many people have given faithfully? In other words, just have given more than once in the last 4 months. So he did the research and gave the report to me. And the number, the percentage almost mirrored that with our giving of our talent. It was 38% actually gave multiple times. And it could have been $20 given twice and that would have counted. So the percentage of tithers is a lot lower than that. But the reality is one out of three are being generous. And to those of you who make up the third of our church family who are giving of your talent and you're giving of your resources, I want to say thank you for your generosity. Without you, our church wouldn't be able to continue to function as a church. So thank you. We appreciate you. You're a big deal. Now, the reality, the brutal facts is that a majority, two-thirds of us, aren't being generous. And if you're new or you're receiving ministry, I want you to know, excuse, but we can grow. We can do better because the reality is that we have to embrace the fact that we are not a generous church. And I take full responsibility in that. I felt like for many years that if we just... I don't want to talk about it because just to be honest, it's like, I already know kind of there's a perception that church only wants the money. So I shy away. We haven't taught about a generosity series or a teaching series since we've been in the movie theater. So it's been a number of years. And I thought, man, Lord, if we just model it in leadership, then you know our hearts and you're going to bless and everything's going to be okay. But it's not enough just to model it. I have a responsibility to teach you biblically what are the principles in the Word of God in relationship to your finances and talents and these areas of your life and being generous. Did you know that Jesus taught more about money than heaven and hell combined? If you look at all the parables that Jesus taught, a majority of them were about stewarding talents and treasure, managing them well. And so I want to say I'm sorry for not teaching you more. I take this responsibility very seriously because I'll be standing before God. And I'm excited about this moment. I'm excited that God's going to be doing heart surgery in some of your lives. And some of you are going to grow in generosity as you're responsible for God's word. And you're going to respond to the Holy Spirit convicting you and moving you into being generous. And it's going to be contagious and fun. And just imagine with me how many more people we're going to be able to reach when the majority of us are giving freely. Imagine how many more lives are going to be changed, how many more marriages are going to be ministered to and healed, how many more missionaries we're going to be able to send, how many more mission trips we're going to be able to participate in, how many more new churches we're going to be able to start when we unleash the God's kingdom finances through our lives and through our church. Imagine the difference that he's going to make in and through us. But we've got to look at the brutal facts instead of fiction. The second thing I want us to look at, the choice that you're going to have to make, is are you going to be a river instead of a reservoir? A river instead of a reservoir. What do I mean by that? Well, we've got to understand that we will either allow God's resources to flow through us or they stop with us. And you are designed to be a river, not a resource. Because, let's be honest, what happens when water gets stopped up? It gets stagnant, right? Starts to stink. And that's not what God wants us to do. He wants to flow through us. He's going to bless those that he can trust that the resources will flow through. It's like in the Old Testament. When the children of Israel were in the desert, God provided for them and he gave them manna from heaven. But those who tried to hoard it, those who tried to have leftovers for later on when the midnight pain started happening, what happened to that manna? It spoiled. Like there's a principle here that there would be a dependence on the Lord and that he would provide enough for us, but that we wouldn't try to hoard things. I want everyone just to take your hand out and make a fist. Everybody participate with me. Everybody make a fist. Now, you make a fist usually out of two reasons, and we're not going to talk about the first. But the second reason why we might make a fist is when we're holding on to something tightly. Some of you have been holding on to your resources. You've been white-knuckling that grip, and that grip of greed has had its hand on your life. Now, I want you to maybe hold up your fist, all right? Now, God wants to give gifts to you. Are you able to receive the gifts from the Lord with a closed fist? Now, open up your hand. Now you can receive from the Lord, right? You can receive God, and God has an open hand. I love the verse in Scripture in Psalm 145, 16. It says, "You open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing." God cannot give you something with a closed hand, so open up your hand. God always wants to bless you so you can be a blessing to others. He wants to flow his resources through you, and the more that he can trust you to be a blessing with what he entrusts you with, the more he's going to give you. It's a principle. It's a principle in Scripture. Malachi chapter 3, verse 8 through 10, God says, "You're robbing me." He says, "How are we robbing you?" And he says, "With a tithe. An offering. It's holy, sacred, belongs to me." He says, when you obey and you bring it, and then the Scripture says, "See if I don't open up the windows of heaven and bless you. See if you don't have." I'm so thankful that my mom and dad modeled for me the principle of tithing. It's just kind of like training wheels to get generosity started. But there was a moment when we started our church. We didn't have any income. We were living out of our savings. For 1 year, we never drew an income or a paycheck from our church. But there was a time that it was really hard financially, like we were budgeting every penny. We had to be very frugal. But there was a moment, I'll never forget it, like because there was like over a year where we didn't have life insurance, and it was very tempting to allocate money to life insurance, but we made a decision that we were going to tithe on an imaginary income that we thought was fair for us. So for 1 year, we tithed that away. We tithed that away, that faithfulness, and God never left us in want. He always took care of us. And not only that, that on the very first time, you remember our very first Sunday at the Beard Elementary School, what did we do with our very, very first offering?
Gave it to $4,000 to start missions in Tanzania, West Africa.
That's right. We gave that $4,000 that we collected on that first Sunday, and we took all of it and gave it to a church planter in Africa. Because we wanted to send a message to the Lord and to ourselves. When it's tempting, when things are scarce, to hold on, to have that tight fist. But when you trust God and he blesses and he continues to bless, and we have seen God's hand of favor upon our church family as a result of the general fund and the missions and the giving, and what's true for us, I want it to be true for you, that you're meant to be a blessing to others. The third choice that you're going to have to make is that you're going to have to choose selflessness instead of entitlement. It can't be about you. If you want to grow in generosity, it can't be about your wants, your desires. See, God's nature is generous, and he wants you to be generous. And by faith, you got to take a step sometimes. Even when giving hurts, trust the Lord by faith that he's going to help you, and you're going to be able to give freely. Jesus, again, our example, right? He learned from his earthly dad how to be a carpenter. What do carpenters do? They build stuff. You build what you love, right? It's interesting to me, maybe it's interesting to you, that the most famous historical being who ever walked on this earth, Jesus, that there's not a museum of artifacts of stuff that Jesus built. Like you'd think that there would be a table, a chair, anything, right? Like something in the Smithsonian, but we don't have anything. Nothing. You know why? Because Jesus lived by a principle that he taught, to store up your treasures, not here on earth where thieves can break in and steal or moths can eat or rust can happen, but he says, store up your treasure where? In heaven. He's teaching us that we must steward his kingdom and steward everything he's entrusting us and invest in the kingdom, invest in eternal things. Jesus built what he loved. He invested in what he loved. So what did Jesus build? You know what he built? You know it was long-lasting? You know what there was no rust on? The church. He said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Jesus loved the church so much that he got down on a knee and he washed the church's feet. He laid down his life because he loved you so much. That's the generosity of Jesus. He learned it from his Father. He loved and he gave. He loved and he gave. And may we reflect the generosity of the Lord. May we love so much that we give, and that we don't fight, but of our time and out of our words and out of our giving in every way, may we reflect the generosity of the Lord. It's all about our heart. God's going to be doing heart surgery on many of us. Hopefully the majority of us, because it's connected to our heart. He says, where your treasure, Jesus says, where your treasure is, so will your heart be also. It's connected. Those are connected together. So here's a practical challenge. I want us to be responsible for what we know. And I want you to ask the Holy Spirit to lead you and guide you. But the practical challenge is this. I want you, either today or this week, to give something of value away. To give something of value away. I'm not talking about that old coat that you haven't worn in 4 years that's in your closet, or I don't want you to just go in your pantry and take the cans that are expired. No leftovers, okay? I want you to give something valuable, all right? I want us to bow our heads. Father, in the stillness of this moment, as we reflect on your generosity and the principles that are found in your word, I pray that you would speak to your children and you would guide them and help them to grow in generosity, not just with their mind, but with their actions. You say good fruit, good trees produce good fruit. I pray that you would give a vision and that you would guide in this area, Father. Reveal to us who we should give and who we should help. Scripture is very clear that if we see our brother or sister in need and we don't do anything, how can the love of God be in us? So just listen. Ask the Lord to give you a vision. Guide us, Holy Spirit, right now. For some, he's giving you a face of a neighbor or a family member who's in need. Maybe you're going to buy their children tennis shoes, bag of groceries. You're going to provide a Christmas for them. Be obedient with that. For some of you, the Holy Spirit's convicting you. You know the truth of God's word, and you've been holding back the Lord's tithe, and he's convicting your heart to give, to trust him, to test him in this area. For some of you, you're tithing, but he's asking you to go above and beyond a greater percentage of your income to give it away to missions to build his kingdom. Maybe it's something that you own that you've held dearly to, and he's going to ask you to give it away. Thank you, Lord, for speaking to us individually. Help us, oh Lord, to be more generous, to take this step, this next step that you're leading and guiding us to. In Jesus' name we pray. Final decision that you're going to need to make, a choice. You're going to have to choose to put God's kingdom instead of your own kingdom. God's kingdom instead of your own kingdom. Because the reality is it all belongs to God, right? Scripture says in Psalm 24, verse 1, the earth is the Lord's in all its fullness. It's his world and those that dwell therein. It all belongs to the Lord. He's not just the creator. He's the owner. He's the provider. So when we think of terms just practically with money, if he gives us $1,000, we earn $1,000, how much of it belongs to the Lord? You might be tempted to say, well, $100 belongs to the Lord. Tithers would say 100. But those of you who understand stewardship, how much of it really belongs to the Lord? All of it, right? It all belongs to the Lord. All of it. All of it. And it's very, very important for us to understand how generous God is. He loved and he gave. Say it with me. He loved and he gave. He not only gave his son Jesus, he gave us his Holy Spirit, but even at the very beginning of of creation. We can see through the pages of Scripture over and over the nature of the generosity of God, right? We can see it every day in our life as we look around and the children that we have, and how blessed we are, how generous God is. But from the very beginning of time, we just look at creation and all that he created. He was lavish in what he created as a gift to us. Think about it. Do you know there's 20,000 varieties of an orchid? And that the orchid is just one of 270,000 species of flowers?
Wow.
That's amazing. Genesis 1:6 says that God created the stars. Do you know how many stars there are? We can't even begin to count. There's more stars than the sands. Sure, that like with our most powerful telescopes, there's 300 billion, at least 300 billion galaxies. Every galaxy has billions of stars. Like, it's just mind-blowing.
Yes.
How big and how vast God is.